My bitches.
My baddies. My goyles.
My squirrels. My little tiny baby squirrels. Tell me that something's not in retrograde today.
Something's in Gatorade.
Something's Gatorading my Rotograd. Really burgly.
Mercury's in Gagagrod.
Welcome to Berg Flergably, episode 30 Gloggin.
Yeah, cheers.
Tink.
30 Gloggin.
The fuck is a 30 Gloggin?
I'm crying.
Hey, baddies. I really meant it, though. If any of you feel like you got hit by three horses pulling a train that's pulling a bus, pulling a fucking cart.
That just got drowned by Hurricane Helene.
Full of your enemies.
And too soon?
You know, you can't fucking talk about Hurricane Helene. It's, like, happening.
Okay,
did you see
enough.
That video where their house, like, floating down the river? And so, like, you're really insensitive.
Oh, well, my bad. But, like, on kidding. That same note, just a side note, I just want to know, and this is not to be insensitive, who is in charge of naming the hurricane?
Helene?
Helene? Why isn't it something scarier, like Thor or the City Annihilator 6000? Like, Helene?
City Annihilators? I definitely, if I had to take an educated guess, I would say that it has something to do with the scientist who discovered it or had information about it.
Because I'm like, Katrina? Helene? Yeah. I'm like, why is this on like somebody's grandma that's going to bake me some cookies?
Fucking
just murked.
Decimates the town. It's not funny.
No, we're not laughing.
Decimation isn't funny.
No, we're not laughing at the hurricane. I just want to know who's in charge of it. And I just want to talk.
I think we could probably Google it and figure it out pretty quickly. I do love
living in ignorance.
The way your brain works. Yeah. The way you think about things. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful
thank
bliss.
Thank you.
So back to Gatorades.
Yeah.
If you've been having a really weird couple of days or a weird day specifically, we have come to find out that there's like five planets in retrograde right now.
Which is crazy. And that's got to have some
effect. It's like Neptune, Uranus.
We both showed up today for the podcast.
My anus.
Uranus.
No, it's my anus.
No, yeah, your anus. Okay, yeah. We discussed this. We covered that.
Sorry, we'll continue.
We both showed up to the podcast today and like Madison was just kind of telling me I've been kind of a cunt all day. And I looked at her and I was like, no way.
Me?
I've been a cunt all day. We've both just been so irritable all day for no real reason. And the poor people in our lives that have to deal with it because the feelings are real. Like I'm irritated and you're irritating me, but I know that it's a bit irrational. I'm not close to my period. I'm taking my hormone medication. Like there's really no.
There's no real reason for
it. Real reason for why I've been so erratic and irritable all day. Like crying over small things and just like the smallest thing is setting me off. I want to argue for no reason and then I get really sensitive. I'm like,
and like the littlest things, it's like something that you would not normally care about. You're like,
yes,
I think I'm gonna start a fucking problem.
Yeah, like, oh, this bitch wants to fight me. Yeah,
I literally chat GPT'd earlier, like, hey, chat GPT, why am I so mad and angry and irritated at my partner when he literally did nothing wrong? Chat GPT was like, it's time to take a deep breath. I was like, fuck you, fuck your mama, fuck her uncle's grandpa's daddy.
I was telling somebody because I had a doctor's appointment today. And I was like telling her, I was like, yeah, the results came back that everything was fine and I don't feel fine. So like I got pretty upset because it was very invalidating. And I told her that I started to cry and she's like, did your doctor look at you and tell you that the other doctor, the mental health doctor was down the hall? Like you came to the door's down
mental
there.
Mental health. Yeah. Like, can you imagine your doctor tells you everything's fine and you start sobbing hysterically? He's like,
oh, I see what the problem is here. Oh. Down the hall on the left.
Lobotomy. Yeah. Welcome to the lobotomy. Yeah.
Lobotomy is around the corner. Take a right on left street.
No, that's where we're at. Take a right on left street. So if you feel the same way, we're with you, girlies, boys.
Hopefully you feel the same way.
Horsies, whoever's watching, goaties.
I hope someone else can relate to this, because if not, we're just...
They're like, thanks for the most chaotic opening of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, whatever Madison said the episode number was, it's episode 37.
Episode Gloggins or whatever?
30 Gloggins.
No, it wasn't a word.
Yeah, yeah. Which, by the way, though, we made it to episode 37. That's pretty crazy.
Hurrah!
Like, that's... pretty good dent.
When we've discussed this like in a long time ago pod, but for our newer girlies, boys, horsies, goaties, we decided that when we started this, we were going to get to a year before we quit because we didn't know that we were going to have any sort of following success at all. Yeah. Like, we could have been sitting here talking to ourselves for a year straight.
Yeah, no, we said even if we have 5 followers at the end of this year, we can't quit, which I don't know if we would have actually followed through with that.
But you know what's so crazy? I was like, we do a lot of research on other podcasts and we look at a lot of things. And I was looking at this other podcast. It was like, you know, 1,000 posts. They've been posting for years. It seems like a very reasonable podcast, you know?
Like legitimate.
Some good information, yeah. Some girls who, you know, had something to say. And they had like 4,500 followers. And I was like, I would be so
I'd be damned. Well, because I think it's not about the followers or the views or any of that. It's about the amount of work that goes into creating this and brainstorming and then editing and posting. And then to not get that validation back would be so disheartening because you feel like you're not, A, you're definitely not getting compensated.
I mean, you're working for free.
Yeah, you're working for free. And it's not a small job. Me and Madison both put like hours and hours in every week. And we enjoy it. That's why we're still here. But we just want to, I guess, say thank you to you guys for supporting us because
thank you.
It makes our job fun and worth it. You know?
We get comments or DMs or whatever it may be of just not only support, but also people saying like that we've made a difference in their life or we've helped them or they feel like they're a friend to us or please don't ever stop making this. This is so important to me. I mean, we could not continue to do it without that. There's days where I'm like,
you know, there are days where the last thing we want to do after our chaotic day, week, month is sit down and have to use our brains for the 80 billionth time that day.
And then edit and then make the reels.
And then be in like a giggly, bubbly mood. Some days it's hard. Some days it's easier than others. But we both know that it's actually not that hard because...
like today I thought it was going to be hard. And then I said, why would you get the whole
dog? Yeah, no. And it's really never actually that hard when we start filming. There have been like probably 2 or 3 times where it's like been a little bit rough where we've just completely trashed
refilmed
the episode. Yeah,
we're not going to give you trash because you don't deserve that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tonight's podcast, we're going to talk about psychological facts and theories and terms surrounding relationships and how they affect us. And I actually personally love this topic. I wanted to be a psychologist. Is that a career? I wanted to be a therapist.
No, so psychologist is a career, for sure.
I was going to school for psychology. And honestly, even though I dropped out of college, that was the only class that I ever took in college where I felt like I actually learned something, retained it, and was interested. And I don't know if that's just a me thing because it was something that interested me or if it's just generally interesting. But I feel like when we post about these things, people tend to like it because
I feel like
it's really interesting to learn about how the human brain works and why we do the things we do, because that is the layman's terms for what psychology is.
Well, totally. And it's like, if you heard that and you're like, okay, I'm clicking off, this is going to be like a boring scientific pod. In latent terms, it's explaining the reason that you think things, the reason that people react to things. Like there's a deeper reasoning for everything that happens. And like understanding the actual theories and the meanings and like the scientific research behind it can actually not only make you feel better about it, but make you like handle it better, understand it better.
And in the same sense, for me, what really got me hooked on psychology and learning about it was it helped me understand myself. All of the things that I did where I was like, God, you are out of line.
You're a nutbag.
You're insane. And then I would learn something about something that I did and like what triggered it or just understanding the concept of something that is a universal term. You feel less alone because other people go through it to the point where there's a literal term for it.
Like it's
science.
Not just you being a psycho.
And then you can understand yourself a little bit better. And it, again, helps you to handle those situations in the future.
I agree. So let's get it popping.
Let's get it popping. I think your topic was first, baby.
Boobaloo.
So if I'm Pillboy Baggins, what are you?
Diarrhea brains.
Okay. Doesn't really feel like a fair trade. That's
okay. Diarrhea brains. So all of these topics are going to be psychology surrounding relationships. Shocker. It's not our niche or anything.
Yeah.
So
we're not in a box.
We don't put ourselves in a box.
We don't have a niche.
And if you have a problem,
take it up with Pillboy Baggins.
Diarrhea, right? So there's this psychological phenomenon where you think that you like somebody because you think that they like you. And the term for that is called reciprocal liking. So basically it means you might think that you have feelings for somebody or like there's a spark there or there's some type of infatuation. because you think that they like you, they're flirting with you, they were making eye contact with you, they were smiling at you, they texted you, whatever it may be that kind of triggers that, oh, this person's interested in me, automatically triggers that reciprocal liking where you feel like, oh my gosh, I like this person too. Or could I like this person? Could I see myself with this person? When in reality, it's not somebody that you would normally like or that you could normally see yourself with, but because your ego gets kind of triggered by whatever cues they're giving you, you think, oh my gosh, I actually like this person. A lot of times this can lead to situationships or relationships with people where it doesn't work out and there's actually nothing there because you had that initial reciprocal reaction where you thought you liked each other, but it was flirting. It was human interaction.
I've actually experienced this so many times because, and you know me, when I am in a situationship, like I really like the person, or so I think I really like them, but really I think it's, I like the attention that they give me and I like the feeling of being liked back. So I'll sacrifice a lot of what I need in a relationship or a lot of the criteria that I would list for the person that I want to be with or the person that I'm supposed to be with, but I'll just excuse it because I like the way that they're making me feel because they're giving me attention. And then when I look back on the relationship after it's ended, it's like,
how did this even happen?
Truly, truly look back and be like, there are no lingering feelings. I don't think I ever actually liked that person. And that's not to say I'm leading people on. And my theory maybe on why this happens is like when you go through so many relationships where you're not wanted or you're rejected, when somebody finally doesn't reject you, you take that as a sign that they must be the one.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I relate to this on such a personal level. Before my relationship, I would have a new crush every 3 days. I could see like a 5-6 homeless man at that point in my life and he would smile at me and I'd be like, do I have a fucking crush on that guy? And then like go talk to him. Like,
yeah.
Not normal. It's actually a neurochemical response. Positive interactions trigger the release of hormones like oxytocin and dopamine, which promote the feelings of happiness, confidence, and attachment. So you relate those feelings to, I like this person. And it's also a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way where it's like, you get the sense of confidence when you believe that you're liked by someone, which increases that attraction automatically.
That actually is making so many things click in my brain because I've literally experienced this. It's like they make you feel good about yourself because they're paying attention to you. They like you. They notice all of the good things about you that you think are good about yourself, like validating all of the good in you. But then on the contrary, it can be a double-edged sword because the second that somebody that you don't actually like that much, because subconsciously you know that you don't like them that much, but you feel good when they like you, if they stop liking you, it's even more brutal to go through that type of a rejection because you didn't even really like this person. If this person doesn't like you, then like what good are you? You know, then your insecurities that were being subdued by this person liking you and feeding your confidence are now being raised to the surface and they're even harder to subdue because
your ego's bruised.
Exactly.
I mean, imagine this. Picture this. You're at a bar. There's a guy across the bar. He buys you a drink. From across the bar. He's smiling at you.
Is he across the bar?
from across the bar, and then he buys you a drink across the bar.
Some guy. Smiling.
In the Bronx.
There's a fire?
In the Bronx. So he's smiling at you, he buys you a drink, he's, you know, flirting with you, but you haven't had an interaction yet. And so you're kind of like, oh, this guy likes me, you know, it's on your mind. And then 2 seconds later, he's talking to another girl, you're fucking chump change, you're forgotten. You'll spend the rest of that time at the bar.
You're like, what did I do?
Thinking about how to get his attention back, what you can do to make yourself more attractive, why you lost it in the first place.
Yeah.
That guy, he's fucking, brain cells are a gnat flying around in his head.
Literally not connecting.
It's a fleeting thought for him, but as the person who either received or didn't receive the attention, validation, oxytocin, dopamine, as the person on the receiving end of that who either did or didn't receive that validation, it sticks with you.
Yeah.
So that's reciprocal liking.
Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. And it actually kind of makes me a little concerned because I feel like I do this a lot. I feel like I tend to like people more just because
they like me.
But then at the same time, though, then there's guys that like me that I can't stand. And they're even more normal than the guys I like. Like, there's obviously something to it, like if you're long-term talking to somebody, but I do see that parallel in how that could manifest into your life very easily.
But it's also something about, like,
especially when you've been single for a very long time, I could see how that could be something that happens because, you know, you're single, it's hard to meet people.
You're excited.
It's hard to, like, find somebody that is interested in you, that you're interested in. And then after so long of being single, you meet somebody, they like you. You're like, I'll give it a chance. They like you more. You're like, okay, maybe.
There's a finesse that goes into it, though. And it honestly has so much to do with physical attraction because if there was, like, you know,
some
creepy ass guy, like, drinking at you across the bar and buying you a drink, you'd be like, that's roofied. No, thank you. There is something that goes into it. Like, don't just, with a grain of salt, of course. Everything has a specific
There's like a connection involved. And there's, you know, like, if you're, we're talking about people that are, you know, in situationships, actually like consistently hanging out with somebody, talking to somebody, not just like your example was how it might start. But we're talking about being in like involved with somebody that you might not like that much, but you think you like them because they like you.
The point to this, the advice here is that make sure that you like someone for the right reasons and not just because they batted their eyes at you and they think you're pretty.
Yeah, because the truth about that, and one of the biggest things I've learned about relationships, is that nobody can hide who they really are for longer than 3 months. The golden rule in a relationship is that the 3 month mark is when your relationship will either prevail or fail.
Ooh. I'm a poet and I didn't even know it.
The girl left no crumbs, no crumbs on the table.
What am I rapping now? That girl left no crumbs, no crumbs on the table.
Because people cannot hide who they are for longer than 3 months. So if you're at the 3 month mark and you start seeing like a different side of your partner, that's the real them. The person that you've been with the last 3 months is the person that they are when they're on their best behavior.
The facade.
When they're trying to show you a version of them that they are not to make you like them. Because 3 months in is when the conflict really starts. And I will be the first to say that it usually holds to be the truth. Like 3 months in, if you're actually actively seeing somebody and it's not working out, it will end by 3 months.
For sure.
Or you'll know that it needs to end. And if you pursue it further, you're just in for a world of hurt and torture.
That's where it comes to ignoring red flags. Like, you can see fucking red flags at 3 months. You can see narcissistic tendencies. You can see toxicity, liars, cheaters. You can see that shit and you can choose to ignore it.
Yeah.
But it shall manifest tenfold.
Mm. On the topic of dating somebody and being in kind of a newer relationship, one of the easiest ways to know if somebody's actually interested in you or not is through their nonverbal cues. This includes how they're acting when they're around you. Are they smiling? Do they bring positive energy? Are they facing you? Are they turning away from you? Are they engaging in the conversation or do they seem bored? Are they distracted? Are they looking around? Are they getting on their phone a lot? Are they avoiding touch or physical contact? Do they seem uncomfortable when you do touch them? Or do they seem tense? All of these nonverbal cues can be an indicator that somebody's actually not that interested in you. And I think we all pick up on these things when we're talking to somebody or in a situationship with somebody, but we tend to overlook them because we don't want to see what's right in front of our faces. But I think it's helpful to know these things ahead of time so that you can avoid getting yourself hurt or put into a situation that isn't good or healthy, and you're able to make the decision to leave or walk away. Because if somebody is showing you non-verbally how they feel, but they're not telling you with their words, then you're never going to know until it's too late, and it's just not worth it.
Well, and I totally agree with this, because especially men are not great at using their words, but men are very nonverbal with their cues. Like, you can tell by a man's posture, his demeanor, his eyes, his stance, how he feels in a moment. Is he angry? Is he sad? Is he happy? And if you are coming into something with someone and you don't really know them that well, they don't open up to you, they're not that verbal, but you are on a first date and they're turned away from you, they're closed off body language, or maybe they don't make a lot of eye contact with you, you reach out to touch them and they, you know, they're not gonna like pull away.
They seem like uncomfortable. You have the plague.
But yeah, exactly. It's not something that makes them comfortable. Now, that's not to say there is people who aren't super comfortable with physical touch, like right up front, but you can pretty much tell right off the bat with, you know, a semi-socially normal person if they are interested in you or not.
Because when you're in a relationship, you subconsciously pick up on these changes within your partner and it affects your relationship until finally you ask them if they're okay. And a lot of the times your partner will tell you that everything is fine, nothing to worry about. And that's why these nonverbal cues are so important to know and to recognize, so that you can make the decision for yourself and have discernment in these situations when somebody doesn't have the cojones to tell you otherwise.
To tell you what's wrong, but you already know because you can feel it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then you aren't getting led astray or led on or led to feel like you're crazy for feeling these ways. Like, your intuition and your gut will always tell you when something is not right or when something's wrong. And a lot of the times the people that are not being honest with how they're feeling aren't telling you to hurt you. They're just telling you because they haven't really figured out what they want to do yet. But inevitably, at the end of all of this, they're probably going to leave, or it's probably going to cause a fight, and then you're going to be either blindsided or hurt. So it's important to know these things ahead of time. That way you can make your own conscious decision with the information that has been given to you, rather than just relying on what the person is telling you.
Well, and that's actually exactly what I was going to say, because nonverbal cues are so important to listen to, because it's somebody telling you how they feel before before they actually know how they feel.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe they don't have the emotional significance to put it into words yet, but their mind, their body's already telling them.
Yeah. Like, and they know something's up too.
If you can read that before it turns into something hurtful or toxic. I mean, I'm not saying like if your partner's not looking at you in the eye or facing you, fucking leave them.
Right. Like, there's situations where maybe they had a bad day, or maybe something's going on in their personal life that has nothing to do with you. But if this is like a newer relationship where you notice that this change in your partner is not normal, it's out of the ordinary for when they are going through something, or out of the ordinary for how they normally act around you, and you've noticed like a gradual decline in the affection and the attraction that you guys have towards each other, but it's one-sided, I think that that's a huge indicator that something's going on inside of them that they haven't yet recognized.
Absolutely. And another nonverbal cue that is extremely significant is called mirroring. If you want to be able to control an entire room without saying a single word, you have to know how to mirror. Studies show that mirroring can increase trust, likability, and confidence. So if somebody's talking to you, whether this is networking, dating, when you subtly copy someone's gestures, expressions, you exude confidence, which naturally puts you in a leadership position.
Which they normally register subconsciously, so they don't actually feel like you're dominating them, but it also brings them a sense of comfort, which is strange because usually when you're being quote unquote dominated or in a position of submission, you don't feel confident, but it makes them feel comfort in the sense that you are mirroring what they're doing.
Absolutely, because it's, if somebody had their hands crossed and you were like,
yeah, like
dominating them,
chest pressed to
their
face,
that would be a lot for them. Or if somebody was super, super confident and you were very meek, yeah, they would automatically mark you as the docile one. So just by naturally kind of following what people do, they automatically assume that you know what they're talking about, that you're as intelligent as them, that you can do all of these things, even if they don't know you.
It brings them a sense of comfort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Run that room, baby.
Yeah. So back to the psychology of relationships. There's a psychological term called cognitive dissonance. And in a relationship, an example would be if you're in an unhappy relationship, but you feel like you deserve to be in a happy relationship, so you're at war with yourself internally, and you start to make excuses for your relationship on why your partner's bad behavior or your unhappiness is fair. By doing this, you subdue the internal discomfort that you feel when you subconsciously know that you're not happy but want to be happy. The term cognitive dissonance highlights the contradiction that you feel within yourself, and especially in a relationship when you're fighting with what your heart wants and what your mind wants, it can cause an immense amount of stress within you and your relationship because you don't want to leave the relationship. You want to make excuses for why it can possibly be better in the future rather than recognizing that it's not good and you deserve to be happy because that's truly what you want and deserve at the end of the day.
And I feel like this is something we all go through, especially as women, because we have this fight within ourselves where we know that we deserve something better. We want something better, but we also have what we have. And so we make excuses for why that's enough. And we make excuses for our unhappiness being enough, even though we know that it's not enough.
Especially as women, it's really hard to just let go of something that we've built with somebody because it's not working, because we put so much of ourselves into our relationships. And I'm not speaking for men. I don't feel like it is the norm for a man to put as much emotional energy and effort into a relationship. Some men probably do, but in its entirety, I feel like a woman really invests her heart and soul from the very beginning into a relationship and builds it from the ground up. And going through all the trials and tribulations of a relationship, when you finally come to the realization that you're not happy and it's not the relationship for you, it's really hard to accept that because you've worked so hard to even just get to where you are. And I guess this could backtrack all the way to the beginning of the podcast where we were saying to recognize these things at the 3-month mark so that you don't have to get to that point where you're giving your blood, sweat, and tears every day for a relationship that you could have gotten out of earlier and now you feel like you don't want to leave because you've invested so much time. And can I just say, there's never a day where you've invested too much time and energy and love into a relationship where you cannot leave. You can always leave. If you're not happy, doesn't matter if it's been 10 years or 2 weeks, if you wake up one day and you decide you're not happy, you should leave. I know it's not just that simple and that black and white, and there's obviously a lot of factors that go into that.
You only get to live once, and a lot of people stay in long-term relationships because they feel like they've spent so much time, they've invested so much time that they can't leave. But you have not wasted any time in a relationship until the second that you realized you were not happy, you did not want to be with that person anymore, and you stayed with them anyway. There was no time, no love lost until the second that you realized you didn't want to be there and you stayed anyway.
And something that's gotten me through a lot of past situations where I've walked away from relationships feeling like so much of my time and love love and energy was lost, is that there is actually no love lost or wasted, because the person that you were giving your love to needed that obviously more than you did at the time, and you were able to be a vessel for that person. And no matter what happened, at the end of the day, it should be a good feeling to know that you were able to show somebody what true love felt like and true care and kindness looks like, somebody that maybe has never experienced that before. And I promise you, no matter what the outcome of your relationship is, that is something that will stick with that person for the rest of their life.
Well, and I feel like a lot of this trauma in relationships, a lot of this psychological trauma, leads up to hyper independence in people, because when you are let down constantly by someone, you develop a defense mechanism of hyper independence because you can't trust people and you can't let them in. Being overly independent is a defense mechanism for constantly being let down by people, because when you're constantly let down by people, you develop hyper independence so that you cannot get hurt again. You don't depend on anyone and they can't do you wrong.
Yeah, because if you don't have to depend on anybody, the only person that can let you down is yourself, and at least you can rely on yourself. I get that. It is a toxic way to be, because you eventually do have to let those walls down and trust, but like, I do get it at the same time, where it's like, if you've never had a safe space or had anyone that you can rely on, you're the one that has to take control of everything.
And the only way that you feel safe or comfortable is by making sure that nobody else has any control over your life or your emotions or your feelings.
Well, you know what they say, if you want something done right,
you gotta do it yourself.
All right.
Well, that's that on Bad Therapy episode 30 Globins.
30 Glockerod. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We will see you back next week. Tuesday.
What we always say either.
I know. Cheers.
Tink. Slam.
Chug.